with him about this. Okay, Mem Hem a bit. We're starting at the bottom. Amar Chama Barguria Amar Rav Halakech Eved Min Ha'Ove Kochavim V'Kidem V'Taval L'Shem Ben Chorin Kana Atzmo Ben Chorin. Okay, we started yesterday at the bottom of the daf about a tefillah that could count. A tefillah depends on what your kavanot are, or maybe it doesn't depend on what your kavanot are. We saw yesterday if she tovels for nidor or he tovels for the bal keri, that in essence is showing interest in doing mitzvot, and therefore it can count as your tefillah for conversion. Now we're going to talk about an eved. An eved, when he becomes your eved, he's tovel to be an eved knani. We've talked about this eved knani before. He's basically a non-Jew that becomes your slave, but he does a brit milah and he does a tefillah, but l'shem, not l'shem gerut, he does it l'shem avdut. Okay, it's a tefillah to become an eved. And so let's say you buy this eved from an ovei kochavim. Okay, you buy a slave, and before you take him to the mikveh to tovel to be an eved knani, he tovels on his own accord in order to be a Jew. He does a tefillah l'shem gerut. Okay, you follow? He's at this interim position. He hasn't yet become your eved fully. You've paid for him, but he's not your eved yet till he tovels l'shem avdut. So we have a tefillah that's supposed to be l'shem avdut, and instead he does it l'shem giur, right? He does his own tefillah before you even have a chance to stop him. Okay, you follow? So he basically buys his own freedom. He's no longer your slave. Now, obviously, he has to pay you back the value of what you paid. You know, he has to buy his way out. You still have a financial, he still has a financial commitment to you, right? Let's say you bought a slave for 100 shekels. Just stop, I'll give a number. You buy a slave for 100 shekels from the Ovei Kochavim. The Eved himself dunks in a mikveh and becomes a convert. Now he's a Jew. Because he's a Jew, he can't be your Eved Knani anymore. Okay? He bought his freedom, basically. But now he owes you the 100 shekel, right? He has to pay you financially, but he's no longer your slave. Now, why is this? So the assumption is, my taima, ovei kochavim gufa lo kanile. When you buy a slave, you don't buy his body. You don't own his body. What do you own? You own his labor. Okay? There's a difference between, right? We saw this with, I'll just give you a different example, with the woman's property, right? There's certain property of the woman that becomes the husband's. Fully, right? And there's certain that just the produce belongs to the husband. So that's going to be our question here. Does he buy, so what do they say? When you buy a slave from an Ovei Kochavim, you don't buy his body, you buy his labor. So now this slave, his body is still his own. So he decides to dunk in a mikveh and tova l'shem gerut before he becomes your slave. He's allowed to do that. He tovas l'shem giur, he's a convert. Okay? Now, so what do they say? Gufa lo kane, my dekane le hu demachne le Israel. So an ovei, here's what they answer actually. They say, sorry, I didn't explain it properly 100%. The ovei kochavim can't buy a slave's body. He can't own the body of a slave. So when he sold you the slave, he only sold you, okay? So my dekane le, whatever he owned, hu demachne le Israel. That's what he was able to give to you. The kevan de kidem v'taval l'shem ben chorin, now we're going to get to an interesting halacha, a very famous one. Since he tovled, and right, he did it on his own, l'shem ben chorin, he was mafkia, he uprooted the shiabud. What did you have? You had a shiabud on this guy, right? You had, what does it mean a shiabud? You had rights to him, right? In other words, he owes you basically, the slave. He owes you labor, right? Because you bought him for labor. So now we're going to learn that there's certain things, kidu Rava, like Rava says, these things can uproot a shiabud. Okay, what does this mean? Let's say I borrow money. Okay, I borrow money, I take out a big loan. And I say, if I don't pay back this loan, you can have my cow. Okay? Or you can have my bread. Or you can have my slave. Okay, so I give any one of these things. I say, if I don't pay back, you can have this from me.
Collateral.
Right, it's collateral. Mm-hmm. Okay, now, that's called, now you, let's say I lent it to any one of you. You now have what's called a shiabud, a lien. Okay, that's really the word we use. A lien on my property. Now, what if I took that property that I promised you? Okay, now it happens to be, I think in this case, the collateral would be in my house, not like I give you something to take. So you can have a lien on my property, whatever it might be. Now, what if I took whatever it was, that object, and I said, I'm bringing a sacrifice with this, hekdesh, okay? Or it's chametz and comes Pesach, and it's now asur, right? So there's this asur, and it's going to become a shavar lava Pesach, and it's that object is no longer. Or it's a slave, and I free the slave. So now what happens? Or am I allowed to do that? So I can do that, according to Rava. I can do that. And when I do that, the lien that you have on that property disappears. Okay? You follow? Even though you have a lien on that property, I'm allowed to, if I were to do something with that property, if I was to be Meshachrer the slave, I was to make it Hekdesh, that would be Mafkia the Kiddushin. Now, obviously, I still owe you the money, but that object is no longer has a lien on it, basically. So that's what they're saying compares here. Here we have a slave. One of those things listed is shichur, right? So this slave freed himself by tovaling l'shem giyur. He freed himself. And therefore, I can no longer have a shiabud on that slave. Okay? So now we're going to have a question on this. Mativ Rav Chista, ma'aseh bebeloria hagiyoret. Okay, here's the case of a woman who decided to convert. Shekadmu avdeha v'tavlu lefaneha. She, what happened? She wants to convert. Now she's got a whole bunch of slaves that work for her. So she says, well, I'm going to convert my slaves and turn them into avadim knanim, right? But she hasn't yet converted. She's not a Jew. So what happens? She goes to convert. But kadmu avdeha v'tavlu lefaneha. Okay, all her slaves dunked in the mikvah before. Now they can't dunk in the mikvah l'shem avdut because they don't have an owner, right? She's not their owner yet because she's not Jewish yet. So what happens? They go dunk in the mikvah, and what happens? Bama selefne chachamim v'amru kainu atzman b'nei chorin. They all bought their freedom. Okay, and sorry for you, but you now have no slaves. Understand? Because they converted before her. She wasn't even Jewish yet. Okay, so now, what does this seem to imply, and why does this raise a contradiction? This seems to imply, why did it work that they were bought their freedom? Lifaneha, because they tovled before her, okay? Lifaneha in, but what does it seem to imply? That if they tovled after her, if she had tovled first, then their tefillah wouldn't have worked to free them. Okay, so la hareha, lo. And what did we just say? We just said that if he tovels, right? Now, in our case, what's our case? There's no giyoret here. The owner is already a Jew, right? He's a Jew. And then his eved tovels, right? His eved tovels. Now, if his eved tovels after, right, that would be a case of la'achareha because he's already a Jew. So once the owner is a Jew, the assumption is from this bright, if she had been Jewish and they had all toveled, they would have been hers.
Why is there a difference if they're Jewish or not?
But they wouldn't be hurt if the owner is Jewish.
Because if the owner's not Jewish, so you can't tovel l'shem evabdut evik nani is only for a Jewish owner. Right? What's the whole issue with an evik nani? You do milan tefillah to be an evik nani. Right? And you become chayav and mitzvot. Remember, we learned this. You're chayav and mitzvot like women. You're patur from all mitzvot aseh shazman grama, but all other mitzvot you're chayav. You become, right? This is the whole thing with the Korban Pesach. You have to make sure, right? They also eat the Korban Pesach. They become part of your house, basically. So they become semi-Jews. Okay? They're not full-fledged Jews, but they have to go through a milah and a tefillah.
So this pior doesn't make them an evik ivri.
So this, they converted, they tovel
l'shem
So that's what we're going to see. Okay, so right now, we don't know what their intention was. They just toveled. What do we say? That tefillah means they're now free men. Because it can't be that they tovel l'shem evik nani because she wasn't even Jewish. Okay? Whereas our case, he was a Jew and then the evik toveled. So that should be, according to this story, that should be that the tefillah of the Eved should count for Avdut, because it was after the guy was already Jewish. Obviously, here he was always Jewish. But let's see. So now, what is the answer? Okay, here I charted out the answer here. Amarava lifaneha bein bistam bein bimeforash. If you notice, in the first case that we brought, the din, right, about the Rav's halacha, it said that he did it l'shem taval l'shem bein chorin. It said specifically he had the intent of toveling for being a free person. In this case, they just toveled stam. It doesn't say why. So that's what they're going to say the distinction is. If you do it before she's even Jewish, it doesn't matter what your intents are, right? Because even if you intended for gerut, it wouldn't work. For to be an eved, right? Because she's not even Jewish. So lepaneha bein bistam bein bimeforash. Okay, in other words, the din is, if you tovel before your owner's even Jewish, no matter what, whether you tovel to l'shem geru, l'shem ben chorin, it doesn't matter, l'shem giyor, l'shem avdut, whatever reason you tovel, it works to free you. But l'achareha b'mforash in b'stam lo. Only if you specifically say, I'm doing it l'shem ben chorin, like the halacha of Rav, it would work to free you. But if you just do it b'stam, the assumption is you're toveling in order to be a slave. Okay, the stam, the default is you're toveling to be a slave, but there is no default l'faneha, right? In other words, there's no default l'fachot to be an eved, because you can't be an eved of someone who's not even Jewish. Okay, so that's how they resolve that contradiction. Now we're going to take Rav's halacha. Rav Avya is going to take his halacha and he's going to limit the scope of it. Lo shanu. So remember our halacha. Our halacha is if you buy an eved from an Ovei Kochavim and he tovels for his own freedom before you tovel him l'shem avdut, he becomes free. Okay, he tovels l'shem giyur, he becomes a full fledged Jew. He can't be your slave. So now, because remember also, once he becomes a Jew, he can't possibly be an eved Knani now, right? He's a Jew.
Could be an
Eved Ivri, but that's not what we're talking about. Right, that's not our issue here. We're talking about of Eved Kanani.
I don't know why they don't answer that. That's so weird.
No, they could. It could be, because remember, he still owes, even if he buys his own freedom, he still owes the guy the money of the value of being a slave. So he'd have to either sell the guy, you know, what could he do? He could either sell himself to be an Eved Ivri to this guy, which obviously we know the halachas are different, right? You go out after 7 years. It's a whole different ballgame. So they're not, like we think of it, oh, avdut, it's the same thing. It's totally different. So that's why, you know, he could sell himself. If he doesn't have the money to pay his way out, he could sell himself to be an Eved Ivri. But that's not what the issue is. Amar Rav Avya, lo shanu ela belokech min ovei kochavim. This case you talked about was which case? Where he buys a slave from a non-Jew. Aval ovei kochavim gufei kane. What if an Ovei Kochavim sells himself? If you sell yourself, now this is a great thing, right? What do we say?
How can you sell yourself?
You sell yourself to be a slave. You sell yourself into slavery. So if, what did we say? An Ovei Kochavim can't buy the rights to someone else's body, right? That's what we said. And because he can't buy the rights to his body, therefore when you buy it from an Ovei Kochavim, you don't have rights to his body. But an Ovei Kochavim himself can sell his own body if he wants. So he can sell his goof, which means that you would then own the goof. And if you own the goof, then what does that mean? It means that he can't buy his freedom now. Okay? Because you own him. So if an Ovei Kochavim sells himself, it would be kane. You would own him. Tichtiv. How do we know this? It says in the Psukim, in the end of Vayikra, when it talks about all the Psukim of Yovel and about slaves and right, all that stuff. So it says here, V'gam mibnei ha-toshavim ha-garim imachem mehem tiknu. You can buy slaves from the people who are living among you. So now these words, mehem tiknu, are unnecessary. So they darshan them. What do they say? Atem konim mehem, velohem konim mikem. Velohem konim ze mize, velohem konim mikem. Okay, what does this mean? Only you can buy them, but they can't buy from you, and they can't buy from each other, and lohem konim mikem. I read one too long. Oh, that's already a repeat to explain it. So three things. You can buy from them. Atem konim mehem. Lo hem konim mikem. They can't buy from you. The lo hem konim zemize. They can't buy each other.
How can you control that?
Exactly. So I think what it means is that if we want to consider from our halacha, our viewpoint, a sale, that's what it means. Lo hem konim mehem. That means in ove kochavim gufa lo kanele. If they buy from each other, then we don't consider it that he owns the body of this slave. So if we were to buy from a non-Jew, he doesn't own the rights to the slave that he bought. That's what it means. It doesn't mean that they can't. They can obviously buy from each other. But how do we view it in halacha? Is the goof bought or not? That's what it means. So now they're going to say, well, what kind of kinyan are we talking about that they can't buy from you and you can buy from them? Leman. Ilema lemaseyad. Okay, so velo hem konim mikem. They can't buy from you, lemai. What does it mean, they can't buy from you? Ilema lemaseh yadav. If it means they can't buy us, that we can't work for them as a slave. Atu obey kochavim lo kanele l'Yisrael lemaseh yadav. What? A non-Jew can't buy a Jewish slave for what does it mean, maseh yadav? It means for his labor. In other words, a guy can work for you labor-wise, right? What does it usually mean? It means that you work as a slave for someone, and anything you make goes to them. Right, the proceeds of your work, your labor, goes to the owner. So, of course, a non-Jew can buy an Eved Ivri, right? He can buy a Jewish slave and he can work for him. Okay, v'haktiv, how do we know that? Ola eker mishpacha gir. Here it talks about it. If you were ba'amar mar mishpacha gir zeo ve kochavim. Okay, that you can be sold to a mishpacha gir. Okay, which is an ove kochavim. So clearly you can be sold. El alav ligufe. Okay, so what does it must mean that they can't buy you? If they buy you, they don't buy your body. They just buy your labor. Okay, that's what it means. Because obviously they can buy slaves. There were slavery. Okay, even of Jews to non-Jews. So therefore, it must mean that they can't buy your goof. And therefore, what are we going to say now? V'kama rachmana atem konim mehem afilu gufe. So what do you see from here? That you can buy from them their goof. Because if you understand, it says you can buy from them, but they can't buy from you, right? And they can't buy from each other. The Gemara says it must be, what kind of buying are we talking about? It has to be legufe. They can't buy your goof, but what's the flip side? You can buy their goof. Once the topic of the drasha is buying the body of, right, as opposed to buying labor, they prove they can't be buying labor. So it must be that you can buy them for labor, in which case, what would the case be? If you buy them directly from, right, he can sell himself, as opposed to him selling someone else. Someone else can't sell someone else, right? An Ovei Kochavim can't sell a different Ovei Kochavim for his body. But he can sell himself for his body. Okay? So now, Parach Rav Acha. So Rav Acha says, no, this doesn't necessarily prove it, because Ema Bekaspa Ubitvila. What was this whole thing? We wanted to say that once he sells himself, right? Let's say he does the Eved Taval, right? Can he buy his freedom? So we say in the case where the Ovei Kochavim sells himself, and the Eved Taval, he can't buy his freedom, right? He can't buy his freedom. He can't become chofshi. Why? Because you own his body, right? By the tefillah, when he does tefillah. But now, Rav Acha says, no, you can't necessarily prove it from here, because it could be that when can you actually buy a slave? When you buy his goof? If you did it bekesef em bitefillah, that until he tovels, he's not fully owned by you. Okay, you follow? This is what's going on here. There's a case where you own him partially because you paid money for him, but he hasn't yet done tefillah. So according to Rav Avia, as soon as you buy him from himself, right, in the case where you bought the Eved, he sold himself, as soon as you buy him, you own him entirely. Comes Rav Acha and says, not necessarily. It could be that it's not just the buying, but until he does the tefillah, you don't own him 100%. And if you don't own his body till he's tovel, then he could, in theory, tovel and buy his freedom. Okay, then he would be chopshi, because you don't own him until he tovels. So now we have a question on this, and we're left with a question on Rav Avia, but it's not clear whether we knock down his shita. It just says kashi in the Gemara. It's a koshi against Rav Avia.
Why don't you own him until he tovels?
Well, we said, so that's what he's suggesting, Rav Acha, that we talked about, that what the process of becoming an Eved Kenani is you have to do Brit Milah, you have to do Tefillah, okay? So maybe until he's finished his process, he's not fully owned by you. That's what
he
said.
He can only be owned by you if he's an Eved Kenani.
Right. Only an Eved Kenani can be owned by you. The question is, at what point do we say you're an Eved Kenani? At the moment of the sale, when you bought him from himself, right? In the case that you bought him, right? Because if you buy him from someone else, we already said you don't own his body. But if you buy him from someone else, then is the chalut of the ownership at the time of when you buy him, or is it when he tovels? Okay? So if you say it's when he tovels, then basically he could buy his own freedom by toveling beforehand. Okay, if you don't say that, like Rav Avia tried to say, then you buy him at the moment of the sale, and therefore he can't get out of it by doing tefillah. Okay, but again, only in the case where he sold himself, and obviously everyone agrees, like Rav, that in the case of someone selling a different slave, he can actually tovel and buy his freedom. Obviously, he has to know this halacha if he's going to do that. But anyway, now we're going to talk about, okay, how do you avoid this from happening then, right? If he tovels, so, you know, he could easily say, oh, I'm toveling for my freedom, and you're gone, right? You lose your slave. So they have all these unpleasant recommendations. Amar Shmuel, b'tzarich l'tokfo b'mayim. There's a few different interpretations of this, but the basic interpretation seems to be, you have to, like, hold him down when he's in the water. What does that do? It shows your ownership over him. So you're showing your ownership over this slave, in which case you're saying, you're mine, and you're toveling for me, by pushing him down into the water. A little unpleasant. He proves this from a story. Ki haide Minyamin, avdei de Rav Ashi. Okay, the Eved of Rav Ashi, whose name was Minyamin. Bai la dbule, he wanted to tovel. Masri nihalaihu l'ravina u'l'rav... Sorry, Rav Ashi wanted to tovel him l'shem avdut. La dbule is l'hatbilo to. Masre nihalaihu l'ravina l'rav acha b'rei d'rava. He gives him over to Ravina, Rav acha b'rei d'rava, and he says to them, Amar lehu, chazu d'minaychi kabayle. What does he say? He says, I'm giving him to you, tovel him, okay? And he says, just know though, I'm going to demand from you, I'm holding you responsible. If he tovels l'shem giyur, I'm going to hold you guys responsible. You're going to have to pay me back for this, okay? You're going to have to be mefatzeh oti echshu. Okay, so that's what he says. Chazu d'minaychu kabayle. I'm going to demand from you if you mess this one up. Okay, he's basically saying, be really careful you don't mess this up in it, because obviously they were always worried about this situation. So what they do, okay? Ramule arvaisa betzavare. They put a noose around his neck, okay? They put a leash around his neck. Arpule betzimtzimule. They loosened it and they tightened it. Arpule kehirdelo lahabi chatzitza. Okay, they loosened it so that the water would get through, so it wouldn't be a chatzitza. Simtzimule, and then they tightened it kehirdelo liktim. It was again to show ownership so that he doesn't say, oh, I'm doing this, l'shem ben chorin. Okay, so I could be a free person. Now there's this final thing they do. Now it seems like this should be sufficient, right? So now there's a final line, which some explain that this was also part of the process, and some explain, no, really this was a good tefillah. It was clear it was good, and they were just trying to prove, they were trying to say, and I'm so confident this is a good tefillah that I'm going to do this. So we'll read it and then I'll explain. Bahade didale reshimi maya, as soon as his head came out of the water. So in theory, his tefillah should be done. So this really shouldn't have to do with whether his tefillah is kosher or not. But what they do, anchule zulta detine areshe, they put a big barrel full of cement on his head. Va'amrele zil amtu lebemarach, go bring this to your owner's house. Okay? To show this tefillah worked, and you can now, you know, you're now a slave. Okay, some people say that this actually had to do with they had to do that in order to make sure that the tefillah was good. But it doesn't really make so much sense because the tefillah is already over by that point. So either the tefillah was good or it wasn't good. So I kind of preferred the interpretation that they were just trying to show, oh, look, we were successful, right? Especially because he was worried they weren't successful. He figured the guy would see the Eved walking into his house with the stuff on his head, and it would be obvious that everything was good. Amalei Rav Papa L'Rava. Chazemar Haina Debe Papa Bar Abba. Here's another case, okay? I saw the people in the house of Papa Bar Abba. Tiyave Zuze Le Inche Le Kargaihu Umishtab Debehu. Okay, what happens here? People were supposed to pay taxes to the king, okay, the foreign king. People didn't have money to pay taxes, so other people paid their taxes for him. Now, in theory, when you, right, all the taxpayers are owned, so to speak, by the king. So now, if you pay the taxes for them, does that mean you own those people? And if so, okay, they kind of work for you now because you paid their way. So now they say, do they need, okay, that's going to be their question, kinafke, when you release them, tsrichei gita decheruta olo, do they need a shtar shichur or not? A get, by the way, is just another word for a shtar. Okay, we usually use get in the sense of a get between a woman and a husband and a wife, but get also means a shtar shichur. So he says, do they need a get to release them or not? Are they, meaning really, do you own their goof or not? Okay? Or do you just own their work, their labor? Amrle, igushrive lo amrlechu hamilta. So what does he say? I'm glad that you asked me this question because if I were to die, I would never have gotten to tell you this. So now I'm going to tell you since you asked. Hachi amar Rav Shesha, moharukaihu dehane betafse de malka manach. Umalka amar mandalo yaiv karga mishtave le mandi yaiv karga. What do they say? Everybody is owned by the king. And therefore, and how do you pay your way out? You pay your taxes, and then you're not owned by the king. So since these guys were owned by the king, and you pay their taxes, whoever pays their taxes owns them. In which case, you own these guys, and therefore you need to release them with a shtar shichur. Okay. Rav Chiya Bar Abba ikla legavla. Now we're going to see Rav Chiya Bar Abba goes to the city, and he sees four strange things. Okay? Chaza benot Yisrael de me'avram megerim shamala velotavla. We're going to start a sugya now all about when you do Brit Milah for L'Shem Giyur, what do you do? Okay, let's start from the beginning. In order to convert, you have to do Brit Milah and Tefillah, right? You have to do it L'Shem, right, Kabbalat Mitzvah. What if you just did one or the other? Do you need both? Are both essential? Is one okay, right? What if B'diyeva you only did one? Does it work or not? Okay? So now, he goes to this city, and what does he see? B'no Yisrael are getting pregnant from Gerim that did Milah but didn't do Tefillah. Okay? Second thing he sees, Chaze Chamer de Yisrael de Mazge Ovde Kochavim. He sees wine, right? The non-Jews are pouring and Jews are drinking. We know this is Yei Nesach, right? So now this is a little different because we're going to see they were pouring it. It means they weren't actually touching it. The real issue is when they touch it. But they were machmir even if they pour it without touching the wine. V'shatu Yisrael, and the Jews were drinking it. But Chaza Tormasin Deshalke Ovde Chochavim Va'achle Yisrael. Okay, he saw that they were eating these tormasim, okay, which are lupines, that they were cooking, that the Ovdei Kochavim were cooking, and the Jews were eating. What does this come under the category? Bishul Akum. Okay? V'lo amar lehu v'lo midi. Okay, what does it say? I didn't say anything to them. Or he didn't say anything to them. Okay, so Rav Chiya bar Abba comes to the city, and he sees these things. Now, he doesn't say anything to them, but he does move on and goes and asks the rabbi about this. Atza the kamej Rabbi Yochanan. It comes for Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says to him, Amar le, say v'hachriz. I want you to go and announce this to everybody. Al b'nehem shehem mamzerim. Okay, their sons are mamzerim. We're going to explain each one of these things. Val yenam mishum yenesach, val tromasam mishum mishulei akum, lefi she'enam b'nei Torah. Okay, there's a little bit of a problematic thing. They're chayav on bishul akum because these people aren't b'nei Torah. We're going to have to explain that. So al b'neim shem mamzerim. Why are their kids mamzerim? Because Rabbi Yochanan l'ta'ameh. Rabbi Yochanan goes l'shitato. We're going to see two things now. You have to have two jumps to get to the fact that these kids are mamzerim. De'amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, amar Rabbi Yochanan, la'olam ein ger ad shimo v'yidbol. Okay, you need mila and tefila, according to Rabbi Yochanan. V'kevan de lo tavil ove kochavim hu. And since these guys never toveled, they're full-fledged ove kochavim, even though they did their mila l'shem giyur. V'amar Rabba bar Bar Chanan. And then what do you have to say? Remember, this goes back to yesterday's sugya. That your kids are going to be mamzerim, right? What do we have a whole sugya about? What machloket? If a Jewish woman is with a non-Jewish man, right? Are the kids mamzerim or not? So we're going to have to say, right? But Amar Rabba Bar Chanan, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ovei Kochavim be'Eved Hababa Yisrael Havlab Mamzer. Okay, so he called them mamzerim because he passed in number one, Mila velo Tfila isn't good enough. And then number two, if you're with an Ovei Kochavim, your kids are mamzerim. Val Yena Mishum Yenesach. Remember, these aren't connected. These aren't the same guys, right? This is just general Ovei Kochavim that we're living there.
That's his Shita. That's not how we pass
him. Right, exactly. Yeah. It's not how we pass him, but it's his Shita. Yes, yes. Because remember, that was the last line of the sugya yesterday, that we paskin that the vlad is kasher, and then we had the homachloket about, does it mean he's kasher also lekiuna or not lekiuna? And that's where the big question comes up. And we paskin, lechatchila, it's no good for a kohen, but bidyevet, it is okay for a kohen. And then the question is, how do you define bidyevet? That's where we ended yesterday. Okay. So now, al yena mishum yenesach, mishum, Lech lech amrinan l'nazir. Schor chor l'karma lo tikrav. What do we say to a nazir? Stay away from kramim. Don't go anywhere near a karam where there's grapes growing, because maybe you'll get tempted and you'll eat a grape, which it's usher for the nazir to eat grapes. So just, right, what does that basically mean? In other words, put a boundary around yourself. So don't have these non-Jews pour the wine, even if they're not going to actually touch the wine. Make sure, right, this is how we paskin, right? If a non-Jew opens a bottle, right, he doesn't even touch the wine. Right? No. Right? When you go to a restaurant and a waiter pours your wine, he's obviously not going to touch the wine itself. No one would be in a restaurant where, right, somebody touches their wine before they drink it. But because of this, lech lech amrinan lech l'nazir, eschor chor l'karmer lo tikrav, we, right, stay away from, don't let non-Jews get close to your wine. V'al tor mesim mishum bishulei akum, l'fi she'enam b'nei Torah. So now what do they say? Ha b'nei Torah share? What? So if they were b'nei Torah, it would be mutter them to eat these tor mesim that the non-Jews cooked? V'hamar Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak mishmei derav kol hanechal kamot shu chai ein bo mishum bishulei akum. There is, they just say, well, wait. There is a limitation. Bishul akum doesn't apply if you can eat the food raw, but that doesn't apply here because v'hat tormus ein onechal kamot shu chai. Apparently, tormusin you have to cook for a very, very, very long time. So clearly, those are not things you can eat raw. So it should be a problem. V'yesh bo mishum bishulei akum. So why is it only because they're not B'nai Torah, and B'nai Torah would be allowed to eat them? So now they say, Rabbi Yochanan ki idach lishna sfirli. There's two different opinions about, and we possibly like both of them actually, that Bishul Akum doesn't apply in two situations. One is that the food can't be eaten raw, but the second is that the food, right, it has to be not food that you can't eat raw. So if you have a non-Jew cooking for you carrots, no problem, you can eat them. Da'amar shmo bar Rav Yitzchak mishmei derav, here's another one. Kol she'eino olal shulchan melachim le'achol bo atapat ein bo mishum mishule akum. If it's not something you would put on the king's table, then there's no bishul akum. It has to be a respectable food. Obviously, this can be interpreted in all different ways, right? What foods kings eat and what foods kings don't eat. But the assumption here is that the tormasim, no king, there wouldn't be olal shulchan melachim. And therefore, tama de'enam b'nei Torah. Only because they're not b'nei Torah. What's the problem with them not being b'nei Torah? They're not going to know the difference between olal shulchan melachim, lola, right? They're not going to know that halacha. And they're going to assume, oh, if we were allowed to eat this, then we could be allowed to eat all other things that akum cook. But ha b'nei Torah, it would be shari, it would be mutter. Okay, now we're going to open this sugya about a ger shamal v'lo taval. So that was sort of the intro to the sugya. We saw this case. Now we're going to get into the sugya. Okay, if you have the sheet, look at the backside. I charted out the different opinions. Tana Rabbanan. Ger shamal v'lo taval. Rabbi Lezer Omer, hare ze ger. Okay? If you just did brit milah, you didn't do tefillah, like this case of the ones you saw, right? Against Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Lezer says, hare ze ger. Why? Shekei matzinu. Now we're going to learn something interesting. I actually didn't know this till I learned this. So yeah, that when the Jews came out of Mitzrayim, right? You know they did this mass Brit Milah. Everybody did a Brit Milah because the assumption was they didn't do Brit Milah Mitzrayim. So now they're going to...
They did it for Yitzhak Mitzrayim.
Right, for Yitzhak Mitzrayim. Then they did it again when they got into the entrance to Israel. Yeah, but now we're going to talk about the moment they did it when they got out of Egypt. They all did Brit Milah. The assumption here is that there was like a mass conversion of the people. They all converted. It was like a conversion because there really were no, right? They became a nation at that point. And they did some sort of path of conversion. So we're going to learn all sorts of halachot of conversion from Yitziat Mitzrayim. Okay? Mm-hmm. From what they did or didn't do. So what does he say? Kematzinu ba'avotenu, shemalu v'lo tavlu, right? Nobody toveled there. They only did brit milah. Or maybe they did tovel. We'll see. But right now, his assumption is they didn't do tefillah, they did brit milah. What do you see? Malu v'lo tavlu is fine. What if taval v'lo mal? Okay, you did tefillah, but you didn't do brit milah. So Rabbi Yeshua Omer, harei ze ger, shekei matzino bi'imahot, shetavlu v'lo malu. Okay, now we're going to say, well, the wives, obviously the women didn't do brit milah, so they did tefillah in the midbar. We'll have to see where. When they got out of Mitzrayim, they did tefillah, or how. We're not going to see where. That's not going to be answered, but apparently they did tefillah. Bechachamim omrim, taval v'lo mal, mal v'lo taval, ein ger ad shimo v'yitbo. They say, period, you need both, bottom line, you know, emalaso. You have to have both. What?
Wouldn't there be different rules for men and women anyway?
Okay. So obviously they're going to ask the question, what do you mean you're learning from women? Women can't even do brit milah, so we'll get to that in a minute. Okay. So now they're going to say, now they want to deal with Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua's opinion. So Rabbi Yeshua, nami nelef me'avot. Why doesn't he learn from the avot that they did brit milah and they didn't do tefillah? And Rabbi Eliezer, nami nelef me'imahot. Why doesn't he learn from the women? Okay, so first we're going to start with Rabbi Lezer. Why doesn't he learn from the women? B'chi tema, if you want to say, ein danim efshar mishi efshar, you can't learn from the men, right, that they don't have to do a brit milah from the women who didn't do brit milah because the women couldn't have, right? That's efshar mi efshar. The men are efshar, the women are efshar to do a brit milah. So you can't learn one from the other. If that's what you wanted to say, we're going to prove that Rabbi Lezer himself holds in a different place that you can be done efshar mi efshar, okay? In a different case. Okay, what does this mean? When you buy the korban for the korban Pesach, you have to buy it from chulin money. You can't buy it from money that's kodesh. What's money that's kodesh? Like maser sheni. Remember, you take your maser sheni to the Beit HaMikdash, instead of your maser sheni, you're poda the maser sheni onto coins. You take these coins and you go buy stuff that you can eat in Yerushalayim. So you might say, oh great, I'll use that to buy my korbanot. Anyway, I need to buy korbanot, a good way of saving money, right? But you can't, because you have to buy your korban Pesach for money that's not hektish. And this money is already hektish, it's holy money, because it's your maser sheni money. So now, why, how do we know that you can't buy it only from chulin? Because ne'emar Pesach b'Mitzrayim, ne'emar Pesach b'Dorot. They're going to make a comparison between the Pesach they did in Mitzrayim and the Pesach they did l'Dorot. Ma Pesach ha'amor b'Mitzrayim ein ba'alem and achulim. When they did Pesach in Mitzrayim, clearly it all came from chulim because there was no Maser Sheni, right? Af Pesach ha'amor l'Dorot ein ba'alem and achulim. So Amar le Rabbi Akiva, b'chi danin efshar mi efshar? Right? There was no Maser Sheni. How could they possibly have bought it from Maser Sheni? So Amar le, af al pi she'i efshar ra'aya gdolahi v'nomad himena. So Rabbi Lezer himself says, no, it's a good proof. Even though it wasn't possible, still you see it can be done. So what do we see here? Let's put it this way. In other words, the women, because women can't do brit milah, they do tefillah. What does that show you? that tefillah is can convert you basically. So even if you don't you can do brit milah. If you did the tefillah, since tefillah works for women, it should also work for men. There's logic to that, right? So same thing here. So therefore we say, you can't say that that's his reasoning, okay? That that's why he doesn't learn from the mothers, because it's Efshar, because he himself says, I have no problem learning Efshar, Mishi Efshar. So therefore, what do they conclude here? B'tavava lo mal kule alma lo pligi de mahane. So now we're going to learn that Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Lezer both agree that they can learn from the Imahot that tefillah without mila works. So now we're changing the shitotolo. We're saying Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yoshua both think that tefillah below mila works, but they're going to argue on the case of Rabbi Lezer brought. Ger shamal below taval. Rabbi Lezer thinks it's a ger, and Rabbi Yoshua thinks it's not a ger. So now, kipligi b'mal below taval. Rabbi Lezer yalef me'avot. Rabbi Yoshua b'avot nami tefillah hava. Minale. So now, you'd have to say, Rabbi Yoshua says, Taval v'lo mal is good, right? So now, he's going to have to say that the Avot also had tefillah. How did we know this? Ilem amidichtiv lecha la'am b'kidash shem hayom u'machar b'chib susim lo tehem. Umam makom she'ein ta'un kibuz ta'un tefillah. Makom she'ta'un kibuz eno din she'ta'un tefillah. So now they're going to say, if you want to learn it, they're going to reject this. But if you want to learn it from, how do we know that they, right? First of all, by the way, if you think about the conversion process, right? They did milah. Whether they did tefillah or not, we don't know. We're going to discuss this right now. And then they had Kabbalat Mitzvot at Har Sinai. You understand? Yeah. It was all the process, the full process. So now, right before Matan Torah, what does it say? Go wash your clothes. So now they're going to say, ah, here, what do you have? If someone generally is Tameh and they go into mikveh to be Tahor, they don't generally need to do Kibbutz Begadim. So if before Matan Torah they need to do Kibbutz Begadim, obviously they must have also Tovled. You understand? Because Kibbutz Begadim is like a more Chamor, right? It's something you usually add to the Tumah process, to the Tahara process. So if generally Tefillah is enough and you don't need to Kibbutz Begadim, in the case where you need Kibbutz Begadim, obviously you're going to also need Tefillah. So it must be, but they say, you can't say that, because maybe, they say the great answer, right? Dilma nekiyupa alma. Maybe they just wanted clean clothes. In other words, it wasn't kibbutz begadim of the chibsubi dehem rabbi tamayada erev, right? You have to wash your clothes in certain forms of tumah. Your clothes need to be washed. No. This could be just that they were washing their clothes to get ready. Ela mehacha, which you also have to explain, right? Why is the Torah telling you that if that's the case? It's just because they wash their clothes to be clean?
It sounds like maybe if they had water. In other words, if they already had water that they could wash their clothes, it's obvious.
That's
tovel.
Interesting. Right. But who knows, the amount of water you need for toveling is different, the amount of water you need for that. Mm-hmm. Right. So anyway, El Mehacha Vayikat Moshe Ta'am Vayizrok Ala'am. Tadam Vayizrok Ala'am. They did in Prayer Kavdalid, when it discusses that part at the end of Matan Torah, right after, in the end of Sefer Mishpatim, and Parsha Mishpatim, there's this weird section that seems to be out of order, and seems to have happened at Matan Torah when the Bechorim. Anyway, they bring a korbanot, and it says he took the dam and he sprinkled on the people. Ugemire, and we have a halacha lemosh misinai, de'ein hazah below tefillah. You can't do hazah tadam if you didn't do tefillah, so it must be they did tefillah. Okay? We're going to see a similar thing. Right, so I was actually trying to figure that out. I couldn't really find too much written about this whole thing of tefillah tadam and where you know that tefillah tadam needs tefillah. I have to admit, I don't know the answer. I tried looking, I didn't see too much about it. Okay, I mean, I'm sure there is. I just didn't, there was nothing so obviously noticeable. Although maybe, no.
Unless they're saying that somebody does the sprinkling as opposed to being sprinkled.
Right, I thought about the Hazza'ah, the Paraduma, but that, right. So the truth is, Tosfot actually brings this up. Hatha b'tfilat ezov aire. They're talking about the Paraduma. That was the only thing I thought of, but that's not Hazza'at Adam, that's Hazza'at Mechatat. But it could be it's just Ein Hazza'ah below tefillah. In other words, I see. Right. It really is from the mechatat. But there it's mechatat, here it's dam. They're just saying there isn't sprinkling without toveling. When you get sprinkled by the paraduma, it's after you did tefillah. Or it's with tefillah. I don't remember the order now, when you do the tefillah. I think it has to be before. Anyway, there's a diyun in Tosfot now. I see about it. Okay. So now, So it must be they did tefillah. Okay, we're going to see a similar thing here also. Rabbi Yoshua, tefillah b'imahot minal. And where does he learn the women did tefillah? That replies to the men, because the men did haza'ah. But, right, Moshe did haza'ah on the men. So what do they say? Sferahu, it's logical. Why? Deem came, b'men echnesu tachat kapei ashchina. Right? How, they had to have done something. The men did the brit milah, but the women had nothing. They had to have undergone some physical process. So it must be that the women toveled, because otherwise, how could they? Right? It's a great answer, yeah? Can't possibly be not, so it must be they did.
But it's not obvious, because they're
women. No, that's what I'm saying. It's a great answer. It's a cyclical answer, really. Yeah. In other words, they're trying to say this is important, and right, and that there couldn't be any other, it just can't be any other way. But yeah, obviously, it's not a perfect proof. Okay, I'm Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, I'm Rabbi Yochanan lo olam eino ger ad shimovi yitbo. That's what we already read, right? We saw the Rabbi Yochanan l'shitate. That's what we started today, because Rabbi Yochanan said eino ger ad shimovi yitbo. So now the Gemara is going to ask, wait, pshita. Why does he have to tell us this? We have Rabbi Elazar, we have Rabbi Yeshua, and then we have Chachamim. Chachamim said you need both. Now, generally, Yachid Rabim, Halacha Kerabim. Right? So why do you have to tell us we passed him like Chachamim? The default is we passed him like Chachamim. So they say, because Man Chachamim, it's not Chachamim. When they say Chachamim here, they didn't mean all the Chachamim. It's Rabbi Yossi. It's a dot Yachid. Detanya, Haresha Bava Amar Malti Velota Valti, Matabilinoto, Umabakach. If somebody says, I did Brit Milah, but there's no proof for it, okay, and I didn't do Tefillah, you make him do tefillah. Because why not? Now there's Mabakach, okay? Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Ein Matbilin. He says, you can't do tefillah. Why? Because without a good Brit Milah, what's a Brit Milah? There were Edim. People know he did Brit Milah. Without Brit Milah, your tefillah is lo klum. Okay? And therefore, so you follow? In other words, Rabbi Yehuda says it's enough just to have the tefillah. It's sufficient. So even if he said, I got a Brit Milah, but we don't have any proof for it, so it's enough for him just to do the tefillah, so we're tovel. But, because you can't do the tefillah until after the Brit Milah. So now Rabbi Yossi comes and says, no, you can't tovel him until you do a Brit Milah kalacha with Eidim. So now, according to this, lefichach matzbilin ger b'shabbat. Okay, because of this, you can be tovel the ger b'shabbat. Why? Pshita. Okay, so now, I'm sorry, I didn't read that. Rabbi Yossi Mariam matzbilin. Amar mar lefichach matzbilin ger b'shabbat. Okay, now this is according to Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Yehuda, no, sorry, according to Rabbi Yossi, Lepicha matbilin ger b'shabbat, why? Kevan de Amar Rabbi Yehuda b'chada, one second. I skipped a line, that's why I knew I was skipping something. Rabbi Yossi Mar Amatulin, okay, here we go. I missed a line. Lepicha matbilin ger b'shabbat divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds, therefore you can tovel a ger on Shabbat. Why? What's the problem with Shabbat? Remember, there's this issue of tikkun kli. You can't fix, you can't turn something into a perfect kli. So if the tvila makes you a Jew, right, then you can't do it on Shabbat, because that's the ma'aseh, that's mitzaken. So since Rabbi Yehuda says that, Rabbi Yossi says, ein matbilin, right, because the tvila, right, he says you can't be tovel him because the tvila is ma'akev, right? That's the,
Completing the milah.
Right, that's the completion, right, of the milah. So now, Rabbi Yossi says, ein matbilin. Lepicha matbilin ger b'shabbat. Okay, sorry. Lepicha matbilin ger b'shabbat to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi says, ein matbilin. And Amar Mar, lepicha matbilin ger b'shabbat. Sorry. Period. Okay, ein matbilin. I'm not reading this, right? Now we're going back. So now, Rabbi Yehuda, who said, lepicha matbilin ger b'shabbat, they say, pshita. Obviously, you can be told about the ger b'shabbat if that's not what's koveh. So now what do they say? Kevan de Amar Rabbi Yehuda b'chada sagya, hecha dema lefanenu matbilin, mai lefichach, mau detema le Rabbi Yehuda tfila ikar, u tfila b'shabbat, lo, to come attacking gavra, kamash melanja Rabbi Yehuda oha oha bai. You might have thought, yeah, I'm going to stop here. I'll stop in one more minute. You might have thought that the tfila is the ikar, okay? In other words, you can do the tefillah without the milah. So you might have thought maybe only the tefillah is the ikar, in which case tefillah would be tikkun kli. So it comes to teach you here, you can do milah on, you can do the tefillah on Shabbat because it either works by the milah or it does on the tefillah. So if the guy was already mal, then you're allowed to do the tefillah on Shabbat because the tefillah is not changing him. He's already a Jew, basically. And then Rabbi Yossi, okay, now they're going to have the same question. Rabbi Yossi Amar Ein Matbilin, again, pshita. Kevan d'amar Rabbi Yossi, tari tibi'ina tikkuna gavra b'shabbat, lo matkanina, right? It would be obvious. Since that you need both of them, obviously you can't do the mila. So what now again? Mao detamal the Rabbi Yossi, mila ikar. Maybe the mila is the ikar. V'hatam hu delo havi mila b'fanenu. But in this case it didn't work because the mila wasn't done in front of us. Okay? Aval hecha d'havi mila b'fanenu, ema litbol ze b'shabta. Kamash malan, Rabbi Yossi, taritibai. You might have thought that he thinks the mila is the ikar, and that's why this wasn't a good perversion, because he hadn't done the mila in front of us. But if the guy had already done the mila, maybe Rabbi Yossi would agree that's sufficient, and the tefillah is just like an added extra part. So at the end, what does he say? No, the mila, it's both are essential, and therefore you can't do it on Shabbat. Okay, we're going to stop here tomorrow. Maybe we'll start with this interesting case of a ger who was mal v'lo taval and what they say lahalacha about it. What, like some actual case that came up. Okay.